Blog Talk Radio.
Well, blessed morning to you as we are entering into the 3 days. Hallelujah. We worship our Father who is in heaven, and we thank Him for the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us this wonderful morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to the process and to our Savior. We acknowledge the sacrifice of the cross, and we humbly thank God for the love that ran red. We are entering into the springtime of our meetings, And it is a new beginning. It's a new birth. It's a birthing and a springing forth of the newness that the Lord is refreshing us with in this season. And it is glorious. It is glorious. And so we thank you for joining us. We thank you for participating in Words for the Word and being a part of our Friday Fellowship of Learners. It is a joy. It is a joy. And so as we are continuing our walk through the Sevenfold Spirit of God book, we are in chapter 14. We've just come out of the chapter on the Spirit of Might. The Spirit of Might, and we are entering into the flow of the river of the Spirit of Knowledge coming forth from Holy Spirit. We had ended our last session with the declaration that when we flow out of the Spirit of Might, we see the kingdom and the dominion we being released through our life in such a way that we manifest the power of heaven. The Lord wants us to plug into his might to see the mighty acts of God through our life. He wants a river of might to flow out of us that will release the mighty acts of God so the people will see the manifestation of the kingdom in power, and we will see and behold the glory and power of the kingdom. That is what the Spirit of Might is, a river of manifest dominion of the King and his kingdom through our life. It is impact, that nuclear explosion of that power, and that is in our inner man to strengthen our inner man, and then that power that is on us to bear the power of God releasing his power upon us. And in order to carry the weight of his power on us, we must have the strength that comes from the river of might, praying for it, desiring it, and cherishing it, and understanding it. And so as we start the Spirit of Knowledge, I just adored this book in so many ways. I see us. And so this particular chapter starts out with one morning as he got up at 5 o'clock. And I just stopped there, and it's like, okay, one morning we get up at 5 o'clock, and we go to work spiritually. But before he went to work, he noticed it, that he needed to add oil. I just thought that was just so profound. As you get up and go to work in the spirit realm with our prayers and our declaration and our intercession, that we have to have the oil of the Holy Spirit to give us that fire power to go forth, as he had to do with his car. And as he was there, he said he sensed and realized that he felt the tangible presence of the Lord. And that's what happens when we come before him, making him our intentional destination in the beginning of the day, to establish his authority, to declare the power and the dominion that we have. So it started to just open up this amazing strategy that God has, and as he is manifesting it to us, we see that the things that we have been doing were things that we have been led to do by the Holy Spirit to lead us to the place where we are closer and closer to him. And so it says here, not just closer to him, we get to not just have knowledge about him, but we get to truly know him. And that's that spirit of knowledge, not that knowledge we get from reading books and reading scripture, but the knowledge that we get when the revelation of the Holy Spirit opens our spiritual eyes to who God really is. And we could say the name, excuse me, of God all day and all night. But once we know the name of God intimately and personally, that was, as the author shared, you may know everything about your favorite artist or your favorite character, but you don't really personally know them as your friend. And that's where the Lord has been drawing us. He's been drawing us and preparing us for this powerful friendship that he was establishing through his Lord, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said he felt this presence of God, and he turned around. And I just, all of this is so, he heard this voice gently piercing through the morning. It says, turn around. And again, that's that direction that the Holy Spirit has promised to provide for us as we ascend up heaven to where God is, to turn around. We can't keep going in a direction. We often have to then listen for direction for the next leg of the journey, for the next season that's flowing into our life, for the next set of instructions. We have to listen for them and not just assume this direction is the direction I'll always take. But sometimes you have to turn around and look at something else. And what he did after he turned around, he said he knew that it was God. We know his voice. These times of experiencing and walking with him, his voice has become familiar to us. And that's because we don't just have a knowledge of him, but we have the spirit of knowledge of him, and we have a relationship with him. And at that point, he shared how his skin tingled and his hair stood on edge. And as he swung around, he to greet God. And that I love that, because we have an idea. So he turned around and thought he was going to look right at God. Oh, God is right here. I feel his presence. And he turned around, and that's not where he was. Then he had to look up, look in a direction that is beyond us. And as he looked in that direction, what he saw was the glory of God manifested through the stars that God had created, through the heavens that God has established, through the order of all things that God has dominion over. And when he looked up, he was able to experience the opening of his soul, because he was instantly connected to who he really was and who had created him. And when God said, and he blew into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, that was a connection there. And that looking up at that moment, at that time of worship, at that time of intentionally spending time with God, looking for him, hearing his voice, obeying his voice, and then he manifested an understanding of who he was, a knowledge. He revealed to him his character of vastness. And it is something the author shares how it's just, it's beyond our mind to just embrace that, because it's just so beyond us. But there are times when we follow, and you see you follow this path that he took, that when we get to a place, he takes us beyond our mind and our understanding, because then we have that spirit of understanding. And he has prepared our inner man to receive the weight of the dominion that he places upon us, and then we are amazed. Then we are at awe, and then we worship. And he says, as he cranked his neck back to take it all in, and sometimes you have to get in a position that isn't necessarily comfortable in order to engulf the things that God is revealing to us. It defies everything. It defies every fabric of our body. I love it when at some point he shared, he said God wrecked and radically transformed them as the revival broke out. And so I love that. He says he wrecked them. I looked up that. I said, okay, what does that word mean? Because it was so descriptive of the position we end up in when we just surrender totally. Yeah, we just get a wreck. And when immediately I thought about it, I said a wreck totally dislodges everything of a item. Okay, so it is no longer functional for what it was intended to. It is no longer in one piece. You can't hardly tell it. And so I looked up the word wreck. It says a violent and destructive crash. It says broken remains of something, something disabled or in a state of ruin. And it indicates it's like it can be a person, broken constitution. And so when he violently wrecks us, he is wrecking all of the natural that has taken dominion in our thinking. And he wrecks it. He ruins it. You know, I love it. He says not only does he wreck it, he radically wrecks it. He totally changes it from what we think our natural ability is to understand, and he gives us his deep things. And that word, we've heard it, we said it, and we've looked for it, the deep things of God. But in order to get those deep things of God, we have to be wrecked. We have to be totally disassembled in our natural traditional thinking, our natural physical understanding of things, and all of that has to be thrown out the window. And when that happens, it says it was the what we see then becomes awesome, and it is the greatest sense. It is a sense, the soul meeting its creator. And at that moment, it's like that moment when God breathed and Adam became a living soul, that part of God connected with man. And that's what happens when the spirit of knowledge river flows in and through us, so that it brings us to a new sight, a new perception. And he'll talk about that as well. And it says, it's an awakening. Our eyes are awakened, and no longer scales are there or the things that distract and block the view of the holiness and the vastness of God. Those things that our mind are limited in their thinking and even in the words to describe the thinking. There's just blockage there. But at that moment, at that time, when the spirit of knowledge flows, and we are connected, our souls are connected back and with and to our Creator, and it becomes a sense of the greatest sense of that exists. We can't even say a sense of; it's a sense that existed, because nothing is missing. Nothing is lacking. We have no need of anything. We don't have lack of anything. There is nothing between us and who God created and intended for us to be. That fact of the power that's within us, it explodes. It comes into dominion in our life. That fact that the power that God places over us will help manifest in the earth realm, just where we are and where he brought us, in such a powerful place that we can then, just as the author said, walk in places and people are overwhelmed by the glory that is upon us. That's that power. That's that power that is upon us, that dunamis power of God, that dominion over all things. I just kept getting that image of when our Savior was coming out of the garden, and the Roman soldiers with their uniforms and shields and their spears, and they're ready for war, and they come, and he said one word and they fell down. A whole troop of Roman soldiers falling down at the word, at the sound, when their ears heard the sound of his voice. When he opened his mouth, the authority and the dominion of heaven just flowed through them. I love that, like a nuclear explosion, and knocked them off their feet. It's not easy to knock a man off their feet, but a whole troop of soldiers to make them. And that just gives us that image of every knee shall bow, not because they really want to, but because they cannot help not to. And it's not because that they come to a realization, it's because they've met the Creator and his dominion, and they have no power in his presence. Even for us, as we worship and we love him, and as we come together and we are enjoying the move and the flow of the Holy Spirit, comes a point where we're radically wrecked. No matter what, you don't care what your hair looks like, your feet look like, your clothes look like. You don't care what you're doing. You are wrecked in his presence, because all of the everything has been removed, and it has no value. It has no purpose. It has no not attack, but it has no effect on you, and you don't care about it, because you've seen and you are experienced. You have this greatest sense of just being and knowing who you really are. Know who you really are. And it wrecks the natural. It wrecks whatever we try to establish and perpetrate. It just wrecks it. It's like, you throw that out the window. Okay, that's that wild, undignified praise, because it is a praise that has been wrecked radically by the Spirit of God. And his truth and his and knowledge of him comes into fruition in our minds and in our souls. And it's like there's not more than just a light bulb. I mean, we more than just get the realization. It's like, oh, I get it. Oh, my God, I get it. And it is so awesome, because God is such a splendorous and a magnificent creator and ruler of the universe. And so as this happens, the author is sharing the fact that his soul eyes are opened. His natural sense was to gasp. He realized he was awakening, that he was being awakened to a greater knowledge of God. It's like, I am so vast, that vastness of the sun, the sky, and the heavens, more than just the sky, but the heavens, when you see the stars that are just filled, they're filled with the in the sky, and just in the little area that we could see, if we studied that astronomy, and we see that these stars are all over the universe, and God puts all of them there. And then he said he saw this one star break away and shoot and go forth, in movement through the others. And I view that as us. as we break away from the natural and from the norm and from the religious, and we shoot away into the knowledge, the true knowledge through the Spirit of God, like a river bursting through a dam and just flying forward. He said, until he couldn't see it anymore. And that's, you know, I think I looked at that as, you know, it to a faith that grows to such a place that it doesn't have to see anything with its eyes because it believes everything that the Lord has said. And that that makes room then in us for God to pour his fullness upon us. This office here is Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As that faith, you go so far, you shoot out, you go forth, you believe, and you get to a place you don't see it anymore. But it's not that you're not moving, you just don't see it. But your faith is what will establish and manifest it. It says being rooted and grounded in love. And rooted and grounded in love means rooted and grounded in God, because God is love. And so knowing and understanding that vastness, even of the kind of love God has, and then to get to the root of it, that's amazing. To get in the root, to the root of it, and then be secured in it. Now, this is where that you being rooted and grounded, secured in the love or in the knowledge of God, may be able to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. In other words, to understand the vastness of God, that there is no end to any of those dimensions. There's no end to his width, there's no end to his length, there's no end to his depth, and there's no end to his height. It's a to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So to be filled with that power, that dunamis power of God, you have to be empty. You have to be rooted. You have to have the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge that has revealed who the vastness of who God is. And to understand there is just no limit. It doesn't start anywhere and it doesn't end anywhere. It is. It is. And that's, we can say that, and but there, it takes the power of the spirit of knowledge to understand what that really means in a way that we are connected to it, and we have a relationship with it, and we are the recipient of that unlimited and undefinable nature of God, because you can't draw it, because it doesn't have an ending, doesn't have a beginning. It is, and it always will be. And so that's a truth that brings up into our spirit man, not just a power, but that is a truth that brings a boldness. And we're going to talk about what it dispels and what it is paired with. And so that fullness of God can only come when we make room for God by emptying ourselves out, by allowing him to reveal to us, allowing him to, you know, or putting us ourselves in a condition or a place or a posture where we are at his feet. We are at his feet in desperation and needing and desiring only him. One of the things the author shared was after his conversion, he said for hours he would sit and pray one prayer. Just one prayer he prayed for hours. And how many times do we not have that desperation and that desire to such a degree that we will do that, that we will stop everything and go before him hungry, hungry, hungry and thirsty. And that's the way to this truth. That's the way to the spirit of knowledge releasing itself through the river, releasing itself in our life. It says we have been spending, he had been spending every day in prayer, in the word, in pursuit of the knowledge of the Lord, in pursuing it intentionally, desiring it, needing it, and not compromising and not polluting his pursuit with things of the world, but setting aside all things as he did that at 5 o'clock in the morning, the first thing to acknowledge God and to pursue him, with such a passion and such a hunger and such a thirst that he wasn't satisfied. He looked out to every area and every person he knew and thought he could get more information. He wanted to know more and more and more. But it happened because every day he was in prayer, in the word, and he was pursuing the knowledge of God. He had looked and saw the vastness of the heavens and all God had put forth in it. And he wanted to know God, not just know some knowledge and some facts about it, not just to be able to recite his character, but he wanted to feel and sense his character. He wanted to feel the power of God upon him. He wanted to feel the power of God in his inner man, so that inner man's voice of the world would be quiet, it would be silent, it would be actually thrown out, because the voice and the knowledge of God would just consume his inward man and establish it in doing so and enable it to handle the dunamis power of God. He said he loved the spirit of knowledge. One of the functions of this aspect of the seven spirits of God is the ability to know God like you've never known him before. It is also an ability to see from his perspective. So in other words, that's getting that God's eye view, getting that God's eye view, because you're now in a God's side position. You're beside him now. So you see it from the way he sees it. 10 people can look at something in different places and they will describe it differently. But one of the things, if you go high enough, if you go high enough and you look down, you get that panorama view of everything around it. And you don't, nothing is blocking or distorting the position or in the way. You see it all. And that's what happens when we surrender to the spirit of knowledge and the Holy Spirit, and that hunger and thirst clears the path and lifts us up so that we are now ascending. He says, come up hither. So our position changes. So our sight and our perspective of things change. You know, the closer you are to something, the bigger it looks. So the closer you are to your natural, to the physical world around you, and the closer you are to a situation, the closer you are to a thing, you see it quite differently. Even its size perspective is different. But when you are from a position that, remember, he was looking up, and so because he leaned back and got himself uncomfortable to look up to a place, craning his head, straining to see this vastness of God that was being revealed to him. But because he did that, he was then brought up to that place. Because if you desire something long enough, you know, the world says, you know, if you really want it and you work at it, you'll get it. And that just determination in the spirit realm is called a hunger and a thirst for God. And when you do that, it means you can't stop without getting it. You are not satisfied until you're seeking it in every way you know to do. And it's God has promised you, when you do that, I then am able to fill you with me, because you will have abandoned everything in pursuit of me. And when you do that, God said, you don't give up nothing that he does not give it back to you 100-fold, 10-fold, 100-fold. And so as a result, that's abandoning in his desire to be in the presence of God, to understand the vastness, to know God, not just know of him, but to have a relationship with him, caused him to get in a position now where he is beside and walking with the Lord. It says the mandate is that we walk with God and love mercy and do justly. And so one of the things that he is able to embrace, he's able to embrace, is this ability. Because sometimes people can tell you, you ever tell a child you can do it and they don't believe you? But you know that they can. But they can't. They just can't embrace it. They cannot wrap their minds around the fact, yeah, you can do this. They just don't believe it. But this is the ability that we're able to receive from the river of the knowledge of God, to know I can. You know, that's that place of faith, that star that shot out until he couldn't see it anymore. No, he didn't have to see it to know that it was still going. He believed it. That's where the faith, his faith was built. It was in upgirded. His faith was made powerful from the power of the inner man, of God strengthening his inner man and his stature. So it gives us the ability, the spirit of knowledge gives us the ability to see from God's perspective. It is a view of the Holy Spirit that many do not have. And so it is not, which we have said, oh my God, I'm not many years, you know, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we didn't even know. Know being this spirit of knowledge of the, who the Holy Spirit was and what he was to do. We knew he was this our helper. We knew all the words that defined him and that were spoken of him, but we didn't have the relationship of those words coming to life in our souls to a point that it radically wrecked us and caused us to need a complete overhaul spiritually that only the Holy Spirit can do. You know, it says when you've been around someone who is walking, just talking about the things of God, it is just totally grips your heart. But, you know, and when I read that, it's like, not for most people it doesn't, or it grips it, but it grips it in a fear because they're hearing something that they don't hear often. They're seeing something they don't see often. And if they're comfortable, and most people are, in what they're doing, they don't want to change. They don't want to make that adjustment. They don't want to be, doing all that. It doesn't take all of that. But it does. It does, and not only does it does because it satisfies us. It doesn't take it to please God, but it takes it to for us to live a satisfied, rich, and full life. So we don't do it as a performance. We are involved in it as a privilege. It is a joy. We're running to that. And so when that joy is expressed, like he said, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When people see that spirit of might, when they see that upon you, they'll covet it. They want to be strong. But just like the woman in the New Testament, she's going to say, well, you know, how much do it cost? How can I buy it? How can I get it? And it's like it doesn't go that way. And so when we are in that spirit, and when we are growing and when we are flowing in the spirit of knowledge, that those that are in a place of being drawn by God will have a hunger and will understand that we know where the food is, okay? We know where the water is. And so they will desire to hear more, to see more, to be a part of and around those people of God who have allowed themselves to be emptied out so that God, the fullness of God, can be placed upon them. He says that this knowledge that we're like magnets to those who yearn to know him. The author shares so many stories of the move of the Spirit and the people crying out to be saved, and not just in a joyous way, but in a desperate way, in a way where there's weeping and sobbing because of a insight and which is the spirit of knowledge in how far away they are from that which will satisfy them, from that which will complete them, and how desperate and hopeless they are if they don't embrace it, if they don't get to it. And it was interesting that some of the experiences that he shares, he said they were coming to him, they were crying out to him. It's like begging, because they didn't know. But they saw that he knew the way, because when he just got there and opened his mouth, that which of the vastness and the power of heaven flowed from him in such a way that their thirst became unbearable. Sometimes you don't know how thirsty you are till you see some water. You know, you don't realize how hungry you could be, looking at something and all of a sudden your stomach started growling. You don't realize where you are until you see the solution for what you need. And then that desperation will cause you to seek, like he did every day in prayer, seeking intentionally pursuing God. I've got to have it. It is the only thing that will satisfy my soul. And my soul being my life, you're dry. You have no purpose. You have no hope. Even sometimes Christians live like they have no hope, like they have no purpose. And a lot of them will tell you they don't know what their purpose is. I don't know what it is God wants me to do. And that's not in a good position, because in order to pursue, you have to know. You can say, well, I'm pursuing God. But what are you pursuing him for? You know, a house or, you know, an education or whatever. We look to him for those things, but we don't pursue him for those things. We pursue him for who he is, because who he is completes us. And when we are where he is, the view looks a lot different. The view looks a lot different. And because it does, it causes our actions to reflect and manifest the dominion of heaven on earth. And the spirit of knowledge will enable us to know God and bring us his ability to perceive, discern, and know truth, and that he is without effort. Without effort. I love that. You are, therefore you do. And so it's without effort. You don't try to. You don't have to seek to. You just do. It's without effort, because it is not you. It's not me. It's not us. It is the spirit of knowledge that the Holy Spirit is releasing the river through our life. Godly knowledge comes through revelation, not just through books. You can have all the book learning. You can get A's and everything that you've been evaluated by, but if you don't have the revelation, the revealed truth of the deep things of God provided to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you don't have this perceived truth without effort. The godly knowledge comes from revelation. The very essence of the word knowledge is to be deeply acquainted with him. To be deeply acquainted with him. You don't come deeply acquainted through just studying about someone, but rather in pursuing a hunger and a thirst for that person. There's a big difference between knowing someone and actually knowing that person. And that is a indication of the position you find yourself in of connectivity to that person. And so in the book, you can read it, but in the prayer, you connect it to it. In the spirit, you are raised up with that person. You're actually introduced to some things about the person that you can't read in the book. You have to receive that revelation, that revealed truth from the Holy Spirit who knows the truth. And so it says we go from standing by the rock to being on the rock and not being in the cleft, but being in the secret places of the cleft. So it's one thing about being, you know how the fans would be groupies outside a person's home or outside their car or outside the places that they're going to entertain and whatever. That's one position. But to know them is to be the one that comes inside where the person is and being a part of where they are. That's the big difference. The principle is the same as with the Holy Spirit and in the realm of the spirit of knowledge. We began to move into the cliffs of the rock just instead of just standing around. It is a desire similar to that of a lover. And it shows that he shares Song of Solomon 2 and 14. It is a divine knowledge, a supernatural ability to know him as he reveals himself to you. So there are some things you can read in a magazine about a person. You can read in an exposition about that person in the newspaper. You can see a show on TV, the Lives of Stars and that sort of thing. And that's one thing. But when you're able to sit down and that person tell you about themselves, then that's a place where that knowledge imparts a divine revelation about that person. And you can walk around like, well, I really know, why this or that happened in that person's life, because he told me. I didn't read about it. He told me. He revealed the deep things about his life. God revealed the deep things about his life. And so when I saw that, I said, we say the deep things of God. I said, what are the deep things of God? We need to start identifying what are the deep things that God is showing. And then actually in the next section, he talks about the deep holiness. So there's a deep holiness about God that only God can just release to us an understanding of, the deep holiness. It says, with this knowledge, we can see from God's perspective on a daily basis. That position that we have with him is not just for an event or for a holiday, but it's a dwelling. He becomes our, we become a part of his family. We're at his table. So this is a day-by-day basis of the perspective that we have on God. Here is a place that we began to know him and his ways. So it's one thing to know him and to know even what he says, but that's what the Old Testament was. They knew God and they knew what he said. But then Christ came and showed them God's way. That's one of the things. You can have a knowledge about a thing, but if you don't have the principle behind that, then you're not going to always navigate that knowledge to produce the right result. And so as a result, it becomes a life of performance, not one of relationship. And when Christ came, he took the law and he made it live by showing, not even explaining in most cases, but just in living the way that the principles of the law were to be established in the hearts of man. And when this flow happens, when we get in this position that the with God and this coming up hither and the deep things of God, he reveals to us, then our life will be powerfully and profoundly and forever changed. You can never look at things the same way again. Once the source has given you personal information about them and personal experience with them, you'll no longer look at them like you did before when you just had a knowledge of what you heard or what you read, but it'll be what you've experienced. And so you see that quite differently. And that difference will produce in us the type of faith that is unshakable because we know what we know. And we know even why we know. Because the one with it told it to us, showed it to us, and allowed us to experience it in his power and not our own. It says you will be diving into the deep of God's vastness, but also in the river of knowledge of the Lord. As the Lord flows out of our life, we will find others beginning to ask about God. That's the spirit of God, of the Lord, in action. And that's what we saw in the life of Christ. As he lived out the precepts of God before the people. And the people knew the law. They all knew the law. But when they saw him live the law, it looked differently because it was rooted and grounded, here we go, in love. Rooted and grounded in love. And because that's who he was, they were able to view what they were supposed to do very differently than they did in the Old Testament. It was rooted and grounded in reverence, in respect, but it wasn't in love because they didn't understand the depth of God's love until he sent his son to die. And then they experienced, it's like an aha, wow, that is how much he loves them. And even at the very beginning level of that knowledge, we don't fully understand the depth of that love. It has no bottom. It has no top. It has no ending to the right or to the left. And that is a place where often we desire, but we don't have, we're not able to wrap our minds around it in and of ourselves. But when the spirit of wisdom comes, it starts to become clear that no matter how far you travel, in whatever direction you go, there the love of God is, not that it is in authority. It is in dominion. It rules and it reigns. And it is not affected by anything that happens. Because all things exist because he created it. And so this is a place that as we walk with him and he gives us, these are the deep things of God. This is the unspeakable joy. Those are the deep things of God. What is an unspeakable joy? Well, unless the Holy Spirit gives you that revelation, you will never know. You can look up the words and look up the definition, and you'll have a knowledge of, but you won't have the spirit of knowledge. And it will not be able to, I love it, radically wreck your life and change your thinking, where there's some people, even now when they're talking, it's like, do they hear themselves? It's like they need a radical change, but they've been radically changed, excuse me, but to the other end of the spectrum. But when we're radically changed for God, you can stand like Christ, and no matter what they do, you can stand there in love, not in bitterness, not in anxiety. You stand there in peace. That's a deep thing of God, that peace that passes understanding. You don't have that kind of understanding. That's the understanding from the Spirit of understanding, the Holy Spirit. And that's a whole different world. That's a whole different mindset. That's a whole different heart place. And when you have that understanding, that peace that surpasses the understanding and knowledge that man has, and it goes through the river of knowledge of God, then we are being with the deep thing of God is revealed to us. How can, in my weakness, I am made strong? That's a deep thing of God. That's a deep thing of God that has to be revealed to us as we come close in proximity to him in our desire and in our purposeful pursuit of who he is. And then it's like osmosis. Because it's his and we're so close to him, then it becomes ours. Because remember, we get this without effort. This is given to you without effort, because he releases this river through our life. Holy Spirit is there to release the flow through our life, so it transforms our emotions and our thinking and even our desires. And that's why he will give you the desires of your heart when you have allowed the river of God's sevenfold function to create in you this flow that desires only for the will of God to be manifested in the dunamis power of dominion on the earth. That's why we are given the answer of prayer, because of the desire of prayer, that he answers your prayer. If you ask, you'll give it. And Christ said, as you're seeking the knowledge of him, because that's his will, and that's what we need, and that's what he wants us to have. And so when we, I'm going to open it. We're going to stop at the whoosh of God, which I love, the whoosh of God, and open it up, insights, revelation, input that you received as you were reading this spirit of knowledge. Your speakers are on. Share this morning. Amen. Wow.
Minister Paulette, when I was reading the scripture where it said rooted and grounded, and I looked in the Greek, you know what book I'm talking about, definition, to see what it meant. And so in the Bible that I have, it had it spelled out too. But then it said depth, D-E-P-T-H. Deep, solid relationship that issues forth in powerful fruit and life to God's glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I found his experience, his experiences that he has had with the Lord, very interesting. I remember years ago how I think, sometimes when Holy Spirit, the power, his power within you, sometimes you just don't, I don't know if it's harness the, his power. It's like it was just, I remember when we would pray for different ones and how the Holy Spirit of God's anointing would come over me. Sometimes I would just pass out. And Minister James, they would make fun of me because they would say, you know, when we would be ministering to people, they would say, there she go. She's going down. She's going down.
Yes.
I was just, you know, thinking back now, saying, well, Lord, you know what happened? You know how he began to take you different, I don't like to use the word level, but I guess take you to different.
Yeah.
In him, you know, and that was one of the experiences that always stand out. And then I remember later on, some years ago, I would, I think I told you, I would hear conversations where I would hear people talking. You know, it just sounded a multitude of people just talking. And I'm saying, what is that? You know, what is that? And it would just happen. I could be sitting, reading the Bible, whatever, and then I would hear all of these voices just talking. And, but I never could. I don't know what it was, about, but just thinking of different experiences that, you know, the Lord gives you, and reading his experience, you know, his experiences, and when he was talking about the stars, and I said, Lord, we don't even see stars here anymore. We can't even see the stars, but just I understand, you know, looking, especially when you go to the south, and you can see all of these stars. They're just so beautiful. You just look up there, the, you know, the vastness of stars, and it's just a feeling that, Lord, you know, you made all of this beauty, and, you know, the trees, and the smell is even different there. You know, and it's just, you know, his, what is the word I'm looking for? how could one not believe that there is a God? You know, when you look around and you see all of this beauty and vastness of him, you know, man couldn't do it, and the wind. And, you know, when you go travel in different places, how the wind, it, the feel of it isn't even the same. You know. So,
absolutely.
It's just when you're reading his experiences, it just brings to mind different, you know, different experiences you may have had with him. And I remember going to camp meetings with Pastor Hagen, and I remember when he would walk sometimes past the people, and you know, when you went in, you could just sit wherever you want to sit. So they didn't place the people there, you know, and he would walk past the people, and he. There were people there from all different countries and everything. And the people would just fall out of the chairs. They would just fall back, fall down, fall out. And you say, man. And he didn't do anything, you know?
Right.
Effortless. Just that's looking. What I love it. It's effortless because it's the Holy Spirit. Yes. And, you know, and that's such powerful remembrance. And I, as you were speaking, I was reminded that the Holy Spirit said, I'll bring the things back to your remembrance. Because sometimes mm-hmm. we have these experiences, but we really don't understand what they mean. But he will, mm-hmm. give, as we continue, okay, he gives us a place, and we get to a place in time, he'll bring it back and let us know this is what that means. And when you were talking, I was so moved the fact that you said you would hear voices. And it's interesting mm-hmm. because if you are made aware of, or I'm going to say made aware of, but if you are with someone, and you maybe you're, I don't know a good example, but the fact that because you're so close, you hear what they hear. So that's him mm-hmm. sharing, this is what it's like for God. You're so close to him, he's hearing that, and you kind of look at him and, you know, go, oh, wow, okay, that's what's happening. But he's sharing that moment with you because of the intimacy he is creating with you. And so he mm-hmm. allows you to hear things and experience things that he himself, that's him giving you himself. And that is such a beautiful, powerful illustration and remembering. Because even though it may have happened, you go, well, I don't even know what this is. But that's his closeness, your closeness to him. And then you get his perspective, you know, on a thing. And that is a very comforting, powerful memory to embrace that causes your faith to soar. And one of the things yeah. that you would, as you were talking, you were saying how those people are just, you know, they are there. They're not, you know, made up people or whatever, you know, plants in the thing. It just happens. And so we are reminded of the fact that the power of God, if he shares in one of the sections, that people that came just to curiosity, you know, they yeah. the one that they were seeking God. They may not even know. They just wanted to know what was going on up in there. Even they were mm-hmm. playing in the spirit. But that's the power of our presence when we've been in the presence of God. And so I right. thought about that, like for the saints on resurrection. A lot of people used to say when I was growing up or whatever, you know, we just let the church be for the sinners today, that we won't even have a seat there, da-da-da-da-da. But it's like as they come to figure out, you know, they just want a curiosity or whatever their motives is, it doesn't matter because if we go, okay, with that flow of the Holy Spirit, when they pass us, when we open our mouth, that's those people that were crying in desperation, you know, oh, God, save me. I want to be saved. How do I get saved? And so that's how we have to go forth even in some of the things. And that's Satan's way of making us not do what we're supposed to do so that those people can keep going and then go home and say, well, nothing happened or da-da-da-da-da. But they didn't. Mm-hmm. They did not meet the God of glory like they should. When we gather to worship, whoever, and if it's yeah. we is two or three, it doesn't matter. They should be so impacted by it that they are slain in the spirit. So I really, those experiences, you know, are such powerful experiences you're sharing that we need to glean from so that we can grow and then go in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is just yes. very powerful yes. testimony. Thank you. Thank you.
And so recently I experienced, and again, because I remember when I was a little girl growing up, I used to hear, and I think I shared it with you, somebody call me. And I look around uh-huh. and I said, did y'all hear somebody call me? And they said, no. I said, somebody mm-hmm. call me. And so...
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it happened down, you know, through the years. So recently, I've been experiencing, since we've been on this 33 day, I hear somebody call my name. Mm-hmm. This is clear.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Nobody's in this house.
Powerful. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah.
And then I was asleep, and I heard my name called, and Bruce woke me up. out of my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think of Samuel, you know, when it was Samuel, right? I think, yes, when
yeah.
he was little
mm-hmm.
and he was in the temple and the
right.
Lord called him three times. So, yes, it's just different, you know.
Amen.
Experiences, yes. But
amen.
This is so much to take in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how he said he began to search.
Going
to the library and asking his brother, mm-hmm. you know, talking to his brother about what he was experiencing, and then how he just began, you know, he began to tell the Lord, you know, I don't remember the exact words, but in other words, I surrender,
mm-hmm.
I'll do this, I'll, you know, do that. You
yeah.
have your way in my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, and as you were sharing, you know, hearing your name called, and I'm so reminded of the section in the lesson where it's an awakening, and when we hear our name, it wakes us up. And it,
mm-hmm.
being awakened in the spirit realm for a task. Remember, he got up to go to work. And so
yeah.
he was awakened to go to work. And our work, we're being awakened to the work that we have to do in this season. And as we hear, we may not, you know, like Ashan before, you may not know exactly, but what he did was, he got some oil. Remember, he put the oil in
mm-hmm.
the top. So, you know, you go to Holy Spirit, and he will reveal. And he does. And he guides and directs because that's who he is. And that's getting the spirit of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, from that flow. And so that's such a wonderful experience of hearing your name, especially when you're asleep, because it wakes you up. And this is a
mm-hmm.
time of an awakening. They're going to have a conference, the Rude Awakening. We are awakening to a new level in God, in a new season, into a new place, into a new dimension, because the tides have changed and shifted because we've been praying.
Yeah.
Really, we've been praying to influence the mountains and the influences to be have us having dominion over them so that the kingdom of God is manifested and his dominion is known. And so that awakening and that calling of the name, and it's just like assembling the army. Okay. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not anything. Okay, let me get up and get my weapons. Yeah, get up and get your weapons. Your weapons are prayer. Your weapons are the word of God. You know, the reference
yeah.
our understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so we are being called for. So that's very powerful testimony, very powerful experiences that God wants. He longs to have those moments with us. He longs for them. And as we hunger and thirst and seek him, just in the perseverance of doing this book, we doing it not to finish a book, but we're seeking God. We're seeking the place that God would have us in. We're pursuing a knowledge of God, an understanding of God, the wisdom of God, the truth of God, the strength of God, faith of God. And so we
yeah.
want to be able to allow the Lord to show us where this pursuit that we have is the direction that he wants us to go in. So praise
yeah.
the Lord. Wonderful testimony.
And the last
wonderful
thing
testimony.
I wanted to say was I was thinking
oh, okay.
when he was talking about being around people,
mm-hmm.
where it's that those who know God intimately and in full state of knowledge are like a magnet
mm-hmm.
to those who yearn to know him.
Yeah.
They
mm-hmm.
radiate his glory. I remember when I came to help Apostle, and a lot of times we wouldn't be saying anything. I would just, you know, be sitting in the office with her, doing whatever. But I remember those, when I came, I was, my heart was just, you know, I had many things going on emotionally. And, you know, she didn't know, you know. And, but just as I began to sit, I say sit at her feet, sit under her, these things, I would begin to release different things to her. And she never said a word. She never asked me anything, you know, but I would just begin to feel a certain way. And I would just begin to open up to her. And the more I sat under her, the freer I became. You know, and was able to, you know, with the retreats and the different deliverance that they that she had for us, you know, I was able, and God was able to do what needed to be done in my life.
Amen. Amen. Oh, wonderful testimony. Awesome. All right. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Go forth in this holy week, and we are in coming to the end of our consecration, which has just been incredibly wonderful, but allow it to create a fire that will impact those that we come in contact with this weekend for the kingdom, and to worship him because he's worthy, and to surrender to him for that which is to go forth, because it's just the beginning. This is the beginning, and he is fortifying us with his presence and with knowledge about and of him, so that as we go forth, we will know who we are. One of the declarations for today in the 33-day consecration is to declare to five people who you are. And so I think it said call, text, or something. I don't know what it was. And so I said, oh, good, I can do it on words for the word, because it's five people, okay? But I am seated with Christ in holy places. Yes, I am. I am a child of God, and I decree and declare the enemy cannot come nigh me, because the word of God says so. And so I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And so those are my declarations to bare minimum 12 people who are on the line. So thank you for allowing me to do my consecration day exercise. If anybody else wants to do theirs, they can do it. And you'll be talking to more than five people. Amen. 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 So do be blessed. Worship well, because he's worth it. Yes, he is. He is.
Well, I'm going to do my five people again, so I won't have to text over. And I just said, I am the beloved child of the Almighty God. And I also said from Luke 22 that Satan has been assigned to attack me, but I have been assigned to defeat Satan. And therefore, Satan and his exempt have been defeated. God gave me the victory. So,
amen. Amen. All right, then. Okay. Anybody else want to do their homework? Life work? Worship work? Amen. Amen. That's all right.
Y'all be like me. They go, what is he talking about? I know. I had to read it last night just because I was catching up for 2 days. Okay. I figured, I said, well, let me read tomorrow. When it wasn't tomorrow, it was today. So that's why I know what it is. But I have fun with it. It's really a blessing. And it really is a time that we are extending ourselves to the world, because the world needs it. The world needs, they need what God has given us. And we definitely want to share it with the world, because it's an answer, and the world is in need of an answer. All right, so be blessed and enjoy your worship. I don't know if there's any announcement. I hope not, because I don't remember that I was supposed to share. But don't worry about that. We got our new decoration for the month. So be blessed and enjoy this resurrection weekend and your family. All right?
You too.
All right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh.